God bless Heavy Wind Adeniji for this tune that he did for me. I'll forever be grateful to him. I was dancing on my seat. I'm in a kind of good mood this morning because my friend, oh, by the way, this is a Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. You already knew before you tuned in anyway. My friend is going to be here any minute from now, Mr. Segun Agbede, and we'll just sit down and chat and talk about the Olympics and, you know how well or whatever the sports minister did. And so we'll sit down and have a chat for an hour, involve you, normal phones and so on. But before then, one, I'd like to announce that if you don't pick up your gift by Friday, what you have won, we'll be forced to give it out to other people. What we expected is you'd come, you know, with everything is laid out at the reception. We give you a voucher for you to go pick up your gift wherever it resides. And we still have a problem with the Nkuru the farmer and Ijeoma. Is it Fioma or Ijeoma? The butcher. Somebody hasn't picked up their gift. The two gifts for the boutiques in Sulere, yes, have not been picked up. And I know somebody, a fashionista, Makonfuni, you know, and I know a fashionista.
That's me now.
I didn't mention your name. I don't know whether to call you Kekere or Dibeji. You have so many names you've acquired now. You know, the books, even the books haven't been picked up. We'll be more than glad to give it to willing people should you not pick it up by Friday. Once you don't pick it up by Friday, don't bother calling or coming. I think 1 week is just about enough for us to. So what we'll do is,
I don't hang on here,
you know, whatever is left, we will give that most likely on Wednesday during the Ebumi. Because on Tuesday, we are going to have, you know, this Emery thing. I like picking up on these little things. This Emery thing that Elebu Ibon spoke about. Yeah. I've spoken to him on the phone. He's willing to come on Tuesday. And also here, also we are going to have a prophet of the Celestial Church. He'll also be here. You know, the two of them.
They do the exorcism.
They do the exorcism.
He's saying don't do the exorcism.
Don't do the exorcism.
Okay.
But the one, two of them might not be in the studio together. Because What my mom told me as a child is that, well, don't look at things that one. Look is not the same as when you say it in Yoruba. Mama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God bless my mom. So the two of them will not be in the studio. One will be at a safe distance, and one will be in the studio. So that that's just a joke. We will just have a discussion about this. But this, don't pretend. Some of you are putting your noses in the air. At one time or the other, you must have heard about this thing, most likely within your family.
I have spoken with one before.
Who was an Emery?
In real life.
Emery?
Yes.
Did she admit that?
Yes.
She admitted that she's an Emery.
She told me stories that are unbelievable.
Was it on air or off air?
No, off air, of course, off air.
Okay. Was it an enclosure or in an open place?
No, an enclosure.
An enclosure. Next question. How many people were in that enclosure with you?
What do you mean? Where are you going?
No, we're done. This is.
I just said that. We're done.
This is what we call in Kalakuta cross examination. Cross examination. I can imagine Kelvin laughing where he is now. Kelvin, good morning. In case you're listening, Agbada is on the way. He got caught bitten at Falomo roundabout. You know, he finishes just about this time. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do. And on Saturday, we have Princess Adenrele Ogunsonya, you know, who is, I don't know if she's still a member of the APC, but she was one time secretary to the government under Governor Fashola. And I know she has a lot of concerns about Lagos State, which we'll be talking about on Saturday at 8 a.m. And tomorrow, there's a young man. I'm an art lover, you know, so I went to buy an art piece for the first time at the market in Jakonde. Man, what I saw there was massive. It will confuse you, artworks and so on and so forth. Then as I was getting out of the premises, somebody gave me a gentle tap on the shoulder. This was maybe about 22 or 23. I said, yes, Emma Binusa. What is it? He said that somebody told me that my name is Jimmy Disu. I wanted to deny. I usually like denying. You never know. You can go and say yes to some people now. they put their hand in their right pocket and knock you. So I said, yes. Eh, what the lawyer, Uncle Lapo?
Dollars.
No, not dollar. Ah, no, if it's dollar, don't mind. Ah, it was, so he walked up to me and said that, sir, I have a song. Oh, I said, here I go again. I said, how old are you? He said, 20, I think it's 23 or 24. I said, okay, let me hear the song. So he brought out he was on his phone, and he played it to me. And he made some sense. Then the spirit that always leads me told me that, give this boy a chance, okay? So I told him, I said, look, young man, meet me in the studio on Friday. Now he calls me every day. Okay. I've become his mentor. So he calls me every day. So he'll be here tomorrow. And then there are two guys here in the premises here that are forever on my neck. What I've done to them, I honestly don't know. Nedu is one. Nedu and I share a love for cars. Okay. And then Wazo always grabs me once in a while to come on this program. Anyway, between the two of them, they also told me of a girl who is about 19 that makes shoes.
Oh.
For men, yes. And I've resolved that I would always, you know, try as much as possible to bring to light young people, you know, to showcase what they're doing, to serve as encouragement, Abi Sharif,
yeah,
to, you know, to it's other young people. Yeah. So that's what we'll be doing mainly tomorrow. So you know what we're doing tomorrow. Saturday.
So you have the music guy and the legal.
Yes. Yeah, okay. They might go home as a couple. Who knows?
I mean, anything can happen.
Who knows? Then on Diabumin next week, you remember there were a set of twins that came here one day, and they came. One, their younger sister tagged along,
yep,
but she couldn't take part because she wasn't 18 yet. Then my phone rang, and he said, "Uncle Jimmy, hooray!" I said, "Who is this?" Then that name is this your man. I said, "It's your man who?" He said, "It's your man Mod." Yes, he said, "I'm 18 now. I want to come to Diabumin." I said, "Okay." Okay, so we'll bring her, but she won't come alone. I mean, she just turned 18. But it was a thrill for her. For her. It said it's the best present that she ever got, if I could let her at least say a word. And so I said, okay, come with your sisters. So we'll have the three of them next week. She was, you know, the children on her day, she was quick to also add that. Well, this present is just part one. The other part two, I'm sure you'll do the needful. Which, of course, I would gladly do.
Yeah.
Shagun Agbede should be here any minute from now. I think he's with the premises. He takes his time. He, you know, those who know Big Sheg, he's never in a hurry. He never rushes. If himself and Philip were to go to Ibadan by foot, Philip would have gotten to Shagamu on the way back when Shagun would be getting to the toll gate into Ibadan. He takes his time. He's in the premises, but you know he'll be plodding in bit by bit. I'm sure you heard Sharif and I this morning when we read the CBN story about spraying. We must do something about this. So I'm proposing that next week Thursday we might have some open discussion, bring in one or two people that we are sure of their morality and integrity, and let's begin to tear this habit apart. I mean, it's almost of mental proportions. Why would you go buy an instrument to shoot somebody with? Now, I mean, are we kids?
It's called swagger.
That's not swagger. That's madness. I don't understand it. It's almost bordering on lunacy. I mean, that's imbecilic. You go and buy a gun. You go to the shops, pick up something that looks like a gun. You load it with naira, and you start shooting the guy.
You have swagger.
I mean, I don't want to swag that kind of swag out. Would you do such a thing?
No, I wouldn't.
If you were having a party, let's say you were doing a Ikomo or marrying your second wife, and somebody turned up with that kind of gun, what would you do?
I personally don't even like the habit of spraying money at parties. I don't like it.
I see you never mentioned anything about the second wife part, which means that you agreed to
what
it.
What do you mean?
Silence is consent.
Wait, what second wife?
No, when I said if you are taking the second wife at
a party. Oh, I didn't hear the question.
How did you not hear? When you were
I did
next
not
to
hear
me?
The question.
You don't need. Let's play
was,
back.
I was just thinking. Play what's that? I was just, my focus was on the was on the act.
Here comes Big Shake.
That act of spraying.
Yes.
I can't reconcile. I mean, people like it, and I'm not going to judge them.
Well, it has opened the door.
They like it. So
let's see how long it'll take him to his seat.
Right here. I was telling
my listeners that I knew where you got to the gate, but that you always take your time when you walk.
Yeah.
And that if you and Philip were to walk to Ibadan, Philip would already be past Sagamu on his way back before you'll get to where Guru Maharaji is.
I heard.
How are you?
Good morning.
Morning, Shebu. This is Sharif. You've always wanted to see Sharif.
I've always wanted to be Sharif.
Oh, wow. Yes. Same here.
That's a great fan of yours, Sharif.
Sharif, I'm one of your biggest fans.
I'm one of the biggest fans.
Say about my mommy. Do you want
me? No, I'm okay.
Are you sure?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
You're not passing out or anything?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. What's your health status?
My health status, well, double jabs.
You've got double jabs?
Oh, yeah.
If there's anybody who would have run to get jabs, it must have been you. Anybody who heard the story about you had to say about COVID. Philip is going to take now. Anytime from now, he's going to get his first jab and others.
You know, but let me use this opportunity to give a public service announcement about vaccinations. You know, you have the green card, yeah? When you get vaccinated.
Yes, you get a green card.
You get a green card. Yeah. Then the green card has what's that thing? The barcode.
Yes.
It has a barcode. So when you take it, it's uploaded into a general system, whatever.
Yes.
So that wherever you go in the world, they scan the barcode
and
it shows that you've been vaccinated.
You've been vaccinated.
So a lady, a mutual friend of ours, and it's from right, Lodoy.
Yes.
I remember her friend took.
So the person who gave you a ride was a woman. When you said her friend.
Our friend. Our friend. Don't worry, Sharon, I'll come back to you because you tell us that, Emily, that you are in inclusion with. We're still going to go back there. If I am here to destroy your bromance, every morning I wake up, I get angry. I say, what is all this? Look at these two potty each other, feeling, what's all that? Get a room, guys. You know, I get personally affronted, but that's another story. So our friend that gave me a ride, initiated that, and dropped me at home, very nice. Let me see, God bless you. What? When we're in the car, this issue came up about, so she talked about a friend who went to America. That she and her friend got their jabs on the same day, two jabs each, yeah? But by the time the lady got to America with her son, they scanned the barcode, yes?
Yes.
And what it now said was partially vaccinated.
Oh, shoot. Oh, there was an error.
There was an error. Her son, luckily, was fully vaccinated, which they were anyway. And they didn't allow her to come in.
Wow.
She had to go back. And then she now had to join a group of Nigerians who, in their infinite wisdom, bought their green card at the airport. Yes, Nigerians do that. So if you are doing that, it's stupidity beyond stupidity.
Word.
I'm telling you, they bought their green cards. So obviously, by definition, even if there's a barcode, it won't work.
Yes.
You know, but the moral of this story is that when you get your vaccination, if you've done it before, go back to your primary health center, wherever you did it. Go and check. Or you can even do it on your phone. You can pull the barcode under your phone, scan it.
Scan.
Do you understand? And it will show you whether it's partial or full vaccination.
Or full vaccination.
And funny, when I told my neighbor who lives next door to be bio, when he checked his own, his wife, Inka, is fully vaccinated, but his own was partial. And meanwhile, all of us took our vaccinations on the same day.
So what would he then do?
He'll go back. Okay. Because then, I mean, can you imagine going all the way to America?
Okay. Olympics.
Yes, Olympics.
Before you descend on Sharif. Olympics. What went wrong? Sheldon.
You know, I've thought of this over and over, but I don't know. They say a definition of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again and you expect a different result. And that's where we are in Nigeria. I mean, first things first, you know, I had the lead up to the program and everything, and we spoke about the sports minister, SD Dari, who, to be honest, I was quite happy at his announcement, you know, to office, because I never met the gentleman before. I met him once now.
Okay.
He's intelligent, very well educated, articulate, well read, worked abroad, Voice of America and all that. I mean, he ticked all the boxes for me. But he came into office in 2019. That was a year to the Olympics, effectively. So the truth of the matter is that he's coming midstream. Every serious nation in the world prepares for the Olympics in 4 year cycles.
Yeah.
So already it's almost late to win a medal for Paris 2024.
As we speak.
As we speak. You have to put in the preparation, the facilities have to be in place. You have to have the manpower, which is what we have in Exeter, but the truth of the matter, we lack the funding. Let's not talk about the administrative aspect of it. You know, so the reason why we didn't excel at this last Olympics was a combination of administrative malfeasance, a lack of funding, and a general lack of preparedness, you know, which afflicts us all the time. Because if you look at our recent Olympic history, no medals in 2012, London 2012, one bronze in football in 2016, and one silver and one bronze.
I mean, we used to excel in things sometimes in the relays, you know, and the sprints. We'd at least get a bronze, or at least give a good impression of ourselves. And I think occasionally we'd have a triple jump here and a long jump there. But this Olympics, in fact, it even was so bad that it made one lose interest in the Olympics as a whole. I can't say I watched for anything in this year's Olympics. So apart from in any case, you spoke about lack of funds. Who do we hold responsible for that? Is it the government or the associations, or who do we hold responsible?
Well, in all these things, there's so much blame to go around. Everybody is complicit. Mm. There's so much blame. The government for having a hands on, you know, how do I put it? It's like a father that wants to have total control over where his children go to school, over what they eat, over what they wear and everything, but he can't afford to pay to meet all the obligations. He can't afford to pay all the bills, you know.
Mm.
So obviously there will be a lacuna. The children will suffer, you know. Mm. The government likes to poke nose, and they like to, interfere in the federations, who runs them, who does this, who does that. But they're not providing, and they cannot provide all the funding. We all know the security situation up north around the country. So there are many other issues. I mean, and I always say that you cannot divorce sports from any other institutions, because the truth of the matter, I love my country to bits. I listen to you every day. I listen to, this general, tales of calumny and war everywhere. But the truth of the matter, you cannot divorce sports when other institutions are weak.
They're weak.
And others are actually failing.
So invariably, to be fair, we shouldn't be blaming the sports minister.
No, to be honest, no.
Yeah, he's made his way. That's nice to know.
No, in fairness, although there are some things that, maybe in other climes, he would bite the bullet. But you see, we don't have that culture. I mean, who was that lovely lady that was finance minister that resigned? That was that was an outlier. How many people have actually resigned, taken responsibility for their actions, and it just doesn't happen, really.
And it turned out that she shouldn't have.
Really, at the end of the day.
Buckled in the pressure.
Maybe from where she was coming from, and said, I don't need all this. But whatever, maybe she should have just written out the storm. It even happens in the UK anyway. I mean, look at what's going on with Dominic Raab and all, who was on vacation.
But he's going to go. He's going to go the way of the other man. What's his name now? The one
the health minister.
The health minister.
So we don't have that. So there's so many.
I don't think people understand when I said he had that titty. It's an old, phrase.
Mm, it is.
Sharif didn't understand when I said
that. Yeah, you'll tell him later, I'm sure, when you guys meet up.
Did he understand? He didn't go get it.
You people should continue now. Why are you waiting?
but I really love you guys interplay already.
Love with Sharif. It's agape, not the love.
No, I know.
Not the risky love. Yeah.
But he wanted to put him under the boss's body about that Emiri and the enclosure. And it took Sheriff time to realize where you were.
Why would he be asking me?
No, but when you said, was he an enclosure? You said yes, it was an enclosure.
I was moving him in.
He very gently on tiptoe. But when he now started, when you asked the number of people, how many other people, and I said,
okay, it's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Can we take one call?
No, we can't.
We can't. We have to go on break
in 30 seconds.
Okay, let's go on break. I hate this. The machine here spins on you. So we'll take a short break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jimmy Disu,
Jimmy Disu,
right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Yeah, welcome back to Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and I still have with me Shem Agwede, and my good friend is helping me here. My good friend, what's his name? I call now. Is it Drew Jay? No, what did I call him? Dimeji.
Dimeji.
Anyway, that's the name I give Sheriff. Every week, every name. So we really shouldn't be blaming them. But what about that mess with the sponsors with Puma? Was it Puma?
Puma, yeah, it was Puma.
What? Give me the problem. What actually happened?
There's a saying, I don't know whether you guys have heard this saying, that when the administrators fight, the athletes get all trodden over.
Hmm.
Yeah, basically. The Puma fiasco came about because going into the Olympics, we had two de facto factions. You know, okay. There was a balkanization of the AFN, the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. You had the engineer Gusau faction, and you had the Okoa faction, because they had two separate elections, one in, I think, in Kebbi or somewhere, and one in Abuja. So the sports minister plunked his lot with the Okoa-led faction. But the Gusau faction had this deal with Puma, basically, whereby they were going to...
With which authority?
That's a good question. It is claimed by the sports ministry that they were not aware of the deal that Puma struck with the AFN, which was one legal entity at that time.
Hmm.
It was claimed then that some people exceeded the authority by signing the Puma deal. But as far as I'm concerned, that Puma deal was legally binding. And in my opinion, the Puma kit manufacturer should have kitted the athletic squad, the track and field squad at the Olympics. But you know what? How things are, you know, I think we now got into a cut your nose off to spite your face scenario, whereby the sports ministry and the one that has finally been recognized by World Athletics now after the Olympics, they refused to deal with Puma and got a local sports manufacturing outfit, which I'll come to another story about that. But you see, where the administrators have let the athletes down grotesquely was, we had a track and field squad of 20, and during the course of the Olympics, half of them were disqualified for not meeting their competition drug tests, which is a purely administrative matter. Some blame might be laid at the athletes that, oh yes, you should have checked, you should have known, put yourself forward, send the requisite. But no, for me, I ascribe no blame to the athletes. Their own job, they have one job. Their job is to compete.
Let me ask a very quick question. Does the Puma deal involve cash? Puma would have to pay.
The Puma deal was basically almost literally trade by barter. You wear a kit, you give us it, and then we give you free kits.
Is that all?
Yes, that was the only cash that I'm aware of that was involved was a brokerage fee that was paid to the people that brokered the deal, which apparently is the norm, like any facet of business. You know, if...
Wait. The people who brokered the deal...
Yes.
On both sides...
Yes.
The association itself is not even the one that is eventually recognized, but they had this deal and some administrative fee was paid to them. When you say administrative fee, how is it a percentage of the total value of the contract or what?
Possibly, I'm not really.
So what kind of figures are we looking at now?
We spoke to one of the guys, the technical director of the Gusau-led faction, who said it was his company that brokered the deal. And, you know, that it's all above board. I can't remember the exact...
How can that be? That means he has an interest.
Well, he does. He has an interest to sign the deal.
Does that sound right?
Well, those are one of the things that sent off alarm bells in the sports
industry. Don't you think that it might be necessary for the government itself, for credibility of our nation, to save our face, don't you think it might be necessary to bring an agency like the EFCC in and find out who was going down? It's embarrassing, Segun, that an association that is ultimately not recognized would broker a deal. You say there was no cash.
They were recognized at that time when the deal was brokered.
By who?
But they were the de facto, they were the only sports association.
So if that was the case, they were the only federation.
There was just one athletic federation.
Why did the minister deal with them?
The minister didn't deal with them because there were the issues of the Puma deal, and then the athletic federation decided to Gunki Kwajai, they decided to climb the tree beyond the leaves.
Okay, listen, when you broker these deals, isn't the government supposed to have an oversight, whatever in it? I would assume that when you do this, at least some legal person from the Ministry of Sports, because the country's image is at stake anyway, and we need to be some official, and would be present when everything is happening, and then the sports ministry would have to sign off completely. That's not the way it works.
No, well, to be honest, I don't know the workings of the Athletic Federation of Nigeria, but as I said, we had the chap on our program.
I'm uncomfortable here. My tummy is running. I feel a bit uncomfortable. So you are sure that there's no cash attached to it? What about cash to the athletes?
And they did promise a pecuniary award for the athletes. You know, there was, I think, $15,000
for each one, for
a gold medal.
For a gold medal.
Yes, well, then $7,500 for silver, $5,000 for bronze.
Would it be paid directly to the athletes?
Oh, it would have been paid.
Not
through anybody. The money would have gone directly.
But Puma has withdrawn now.
They've withdrawn because their kits were not used. The whole essence of kitting a team that's going to Olympics, it's like Nigeria's track and field squad, kitted by Puma. But since they didn't use it, so Puma's...
So Puma has run into a loss on this?
Definitely.
And do you think any company will be coming our way next time?
We're reputationally damaged for sure. Because we had the case of a Nigerian shot putter, the first Nigerian shot putter to qualify for an Olympics final. And there was a case of him on Instagram or something washing his kits, the kits that a certain local supplier.
Yes.
And it was like the implication there was that's the only one he had. And it caused a furore as well, because like, why would our competitors have only one kit? Then his coach came on.
Would the other side have lost much, or the country have lost much, if for the sake of peace and reputation of the since, according to you, there was no real exchange of cash and so on, if I had gone along with Puma
there
for
would
the
have
sake of
absolutely
this,
nothing wrong. I think at least
so that's wrong judgment on the part of the
yes,
minister.
Definitely. That's what I feel. That's one of the reasons I didn't mention this shot put up, because I don't think Puma, the issue, the coach was down defending air. It wasn't the sports minister's fault. It was the administrator's fault. The suppliers couldn't get a proper 3X. That's nobody's business. 3X is 3X. You know, I'm a big man. You know, so when you walk into a store, and you want to buy 3X, you buy 3X. And I'm sure that Puma had supplied them 3X, it would have been the right thing. So, but these are speculation. But my major grouse with the sports ministry and the administrators is the fact that chances of winning a medal, any form of medal in the track and field, were halved by the fact that 10 of 20 were disqualified for purely, not drug issues, but for administrative issues.
Well, you said that you liked the minister.
I didn't say I liked the minister.
Did you say you liked him?
No, I didn't say.
You dislike him?
No, I don't dislike him. But I said I like his qualifications.
You like his qualifications?
Yes. Articulate.
Oh, okay, well. Now I'm not asking you directly. Do you like him?
As a person, yes.
Oh, okay, that's what I meant. Okay, so I'm still in order.
No.
But you said all that. But do you feel within you, with the years of experience in sports administration, that gentleman can handle that ministry?
Well, I think there's been a lot that's been lacking. And I think, to be honest, we've come back and we've lauded the squad. And as I said, the Paralympics is going on now. And I'd like to use this opportunity to say I'm 100% behind our Paralympians. I appreciate what they do. I had the opportunity of meeting them in 2012 in when London, the London Paralympics, you know, when they had such an excellent outing that the High Commissioner to London hosted, and I met so many of them. And what they have done is that, you know, we've been quibbling on what do you call, is it physically challenged or disabled? But the longer it's a triumph of human spirit over adversity. They'll be wonderful people. And even our own Olympians, I went, yes, we only, and I say that we only got, in inverted commas, a silver and a bronze, but I do believe we could have gotten much better. But for me, that's a triumph of their own endurance rather than any success on the part of the sports ministry.
For me, okay, I mean, I'm not a sports person per se, but what the Olympics does to me as a Nigerian is for my country's flag to be flown. In the past, I used to love looking at the match pass and things, and you get a sense of pride. But these people arrived in tatters. Right from what I do know is from boarding the plane here, you're kitted, both for the field and for travel and everything. This photograph we saw in the papers here when they were met by Nigerian ambassador, one was even wearing an old Arsenal T-shirt. It looked ragged and tattered and whatever. And I also believe that the sports minister could have applied a bit more discretion in some of the things that took place there. Was he actually in Japan?
No, he was in Japan for the duration.
I wonder how he felt.
Well, he had it. I'm not in his mind. I don't know how he would have felt. He would have obviously had so many issues to deal with. As I said, there's a lot of blame to go around. You know, if the foundations are shaky, the house cannot stand, or a house divided against itself cannot stand. We all foresaw what was going to happen in the Olympics, in the sense that, apart from the fact that Nigeria, we don't really have the funding. Okay, we spoke to Ese Bruma, who won a bronze medal in the long jump. You know, we're expecting better, because funny enough, she has the longest jump in the world this year, I think a bit over 7 meters, but bronze medal jump was just under 6.9 something. You know, but she podiumed. I mean, the truth of the matter is that for anybody going to the Olympics, 95 for every athlete, everybody going, 95% of them will not win anything. It is only a minuscule amount. So to qualify in itself is a wonderful achievement. Then getting on the podium is absolutely brilliant. But we need a little bit. I mean, she spoke about herself, how she got injured in April in lead up to the Olympics. She had to use her funding from Adidas to sort herself up. And then the sports minister, give him credit, introduced and adopted an athlete initiative. But these guys, the money was being paid to them a month, 3 weeks,
the Olympics.
To me, what difference? If you want to start paying, if you want to make an appreciable impact on, have this scheme, maybe 12, maybe at least 2 years, pick them up, pick up their training, their feeding, you know, there's so much that work that goes into preparing a highly, elite athlete. There's so much work, and it's all about money.
Okay, we're going to pick our course, but before then, I'd like to ask you, you've been in sports for how long?
About 10, 15 years.
10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of any forward called Kekere? Did you?
Well, I've loved sports all my life.
Did you ever hear any?
I haven't heard any sports called Kekere, too.
Did any footballer called Kekere?
No, footballer
called Kekere. You've not heard that.
No. Ask it the right way. A professional footballer or a belly footballer?
You said you were a footballer. You see that?
You see.
One day.
You know, Sherif.
One day.
I felt some sympathy for Tegbomba and Tassie. But we are showing that you are just a Kekere Egbom. Do you understand?
He's as bad as I am.
Really? Honestly. Because what is
that? But I didn't mention his name. I don't said it all the years. Have you?
I'm just saying too. Like, let's tabang down. Masha, a lot of talk. Did you say?
He said on
just saying that it's a. Is it a professional footballer?
But sorry. I'd like to ask. You know, it's always when you don't know. Ask. Yeah. What is an Abele footballer?
Yeah, some of us that play football
under the bridge,
on the streets. You know, under the bridge.
Under the bridge.
In secondary school.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know why you play two goalkeepers? I1, I2. Let's pick that call.
two goalkeepers. Did you ever witness anywhere people play two goalkeepers in a match?
No, let me tell you how it happened. Yeah. When we were young, and you know, maybe there are about 20 of you, you want to play football, and you want to quickly put the team together. So you say two goalkeepers. One will say I1, I2. Okay. So you have two goalkeepers. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Fine, sir. Good morning, everybody in this
morning.
Yeah, this is Jess Lokwe.
Yes.
And now I can see that Sheriff is old enough. He can tackle you. Sir, I want you to drag him under the bus today.
Don't worry. He's going.
He's been escaping.
But Kole Lobe. Okay, what did you want to say?
It's gone. We lost that.
Good morning.
My name is Kayode Mogaji.
Hey, APC.
Good morning, Chef.
Otutiwabi Debi. APC.
APC.
Big Sheg and Uncle Jimmy, I have serious issues with the sports minister.
Well,
so now the Paralympics is going on. Where is the sports minister? When the Olympics actually happened a couple of months ago, it was there from day one to the last day. And I heard an excuse, even from Uncle Shegu, a couple of days ago, that, yeah, because you're under 20, need some feet, a very good feet in the competition they participated in, that's why he had to fly to Nigeria. And no.
Kade, that wasn't me. That wasn't me saying that. But I'm listening to you.
So the question I asked is, if it was the Olympics that was going on and some under-age championship or participants had to meet the presidency, would they have come back home? No. It just shows what it prioritizes, and it's so unfortunate. And in our sport, in the past 20 to 30 years, since Barcelona 92, the Paralympics is where we've won more awards in any of our sports. They've won at times. I remember the last Olympics, they even won 8 gold medals. Meanwhile, the normal Olympics, accumulatively, they've not won up to 5 gold medals. It's so unfortunate. The Puma thing, I think it was just ego tripping.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason the Puma deal should not have flown, because it was signed when the federation was still won. Sunday Diary, I'm sorry, is not good for our sports. And that's what has happened to our sports since probably Emeka Omeru in the 90s. They just feel, okay, this guy was forced on us, let's put him in sports. Sports is just shiri wiri. No, it's so unfortunate. And Uncle Jimmy, you asked a very pertinent question. Now, what happens to us in the international community when it comes to actually endorsements?
We're pariah state in that regard. Nobody will do business with you.
No, you know, Kaude, I agree with everything you've said except for one thing. Because the truth of the matter is this: the sports minister remaining in Japan from day one of the Olympics to the end of the Paralympics. A lot of people say, Shane, only you. Must you be there on ground? Do you understand? His permanent secretary is there. Maybe he has other issues. I'm not holding brief for him, but as I said.
Well, I don't even think he should have been there till the end of the Olympics.
Do you understand?
If he wanted a holiday, he would have asked for one.
Exactly.
Yes, I don't think. You see, the one thing is this hands-on attitude that we have.
That's my point.
The association, they are the ones who should conduct this.
Exactly.
He can just go there for 2-3 days, see everybody is okay, fine. So I also disagree with Kyle.
It doesn't have to be there from. He doesn't have to be his permanent secretary. And there's the one thing the permanent secretary, which I said on our own platform, is this, which I like. He said, every medal that the Paralympians make, they will be paid as much as, which is very important, as the able-bodied. You know, I'm happy that it's been.
But why would it? Why stress it? Why would it have been different? Anyway?
Well, I'm not. You know, I don't like to say what I'm not too sure. I don't know whether it's always been like that. But I'm happy
It's sad if it hadn't been.
It may not have been. You understand? But I'm happy that it's been put out there that whatever the guys that went for the Olympics got the Paralympians will get.
I hope it won't take another 20 years. Remember what happened to the footballers? They just got their houses.
It was Chema Achiuwa.
Yes.
And you know.
No, there's even some footballers just got.
Yeah, the 1994.
Yes. That's even longer. So.
Ah, we got to go, Rick Check. Okay. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Pleasure is all mine.
Of course, you were looking forward more to the breakfast and any other thing. But definitely. It's not that I blame you. I'm a very good host.
Yes, you are.
And I know how to feed you up properly.
That's true.
Thank you, Sheriff.
I'm really looking forward to meeting Sheriff. Sheriff, God bless you. Good job. Job well done.
God bless you too, sir. Yeah.
Job well done.
Yeah, now you've seen him. You let me rest.
I'll let you rest.
Right. We have to go. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. So we're going to look forward to talking to my new found musician. I found him in Jakonde. There's an arts market there. It's about 23-24. And Nedu has introduced, or is introducing somebody, some little girl who has set up a shoemaking business, and she's 19. Between 19 and 20. I leave Fridays for that. Of course, hopefully, Harun Balogun will have information for the hopefuls, those who want to marry, who are looking for Muslimas and Alphas, who want to marry, those who want a second wife. And are you in the market?
For a second wife?
Yes.
Can I afford a second wife?
No, you can't.
No.
We will see you tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Okay. In the center of excellence. Over 40 radio stations. Strong 9 million radio audience. Nigeria Info 99.3 is officially the number one talk station in Lagos. Over 2 million radio listeners. 1.3 million online community. Star cast of broadcasters. Talk, news, and sports. We are having the biggest conversation right now. Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Leader is not informed, is bound to be deformed.
So many organizations don't even have a workplace sexual harassment procedure or reporting channel. So if there's no place to even report, how do I even report these issues?
AstraZeneca and Moderna vaccines cannot be mixed.
You cannot say bring that one too.
No.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Keeping up the pace. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.